Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. In his final State of the State address last night, Governor Kasich focused on values and religion and did so with references to almost every great thinker from Plato to Thomas Aquinas. He said those values have been reflected in his work as governor.
But I believe that because we have been faithful to practicing these values that I have talked about earlier, I believe the state of Ohio is stronger today than it's been in a generation. We are proud to be Ohioans. We are more hopeful. We are more united. And we have set a course for others to follow. Ohio is back. And Ohio is strong again, ladies and gentlemen.
We're following up on the speech today. Joining us is Ohio State political scientist Paul Beck. Welcome back.
Thank you, Ann. Good to be with you.
And from the IdeaStream studios in Cleveland, Ohio Public Radio Statehouse News Bureau Chief Karen Kassler. Welcome back, Karen.
Good morning, Ann, and hi, Dr. Beck.
Hi, Karen.
Immediate thoughts, Karen Kassler, about the tenor of the speech last night?
Well, I think it was universally received as a speech that had a very positive tone, and I think that's something that Kasich has tried to establish in the last couple of years, that he's a positive person, that he thinks positively, maybe as a contrast to what some of those in the Republican Party that he would like to criticize, such as Donald Trump, might be. He talked a lot, you said at the top, about philosophy and spirituality. He went from kind of a philosophy 101 lecture to almost a sermon and then got into the explanation of why he had done all that to try to set up, here's the things that I did based on the values that I just kind of reiterated. And so I think it was an interesting speech. It certainly was the reaction on Twitter as I was following it. Interesting was a word that I think a lot of people were using. Mm-hmm. Confusing, hard to follow, positive, uplifting.
Well, that's nothing new.
Yeah, well, and that is true. When you look back at his history of State of the State speeches, long and difficult to follow sometimes are things that have come up. But, it's this time, I think there was some criticism that there wasn't a whole lot of meat here. There wasn't a whole lot in terms of actual policy. I mean, he did make news that we're going to have a new state park. But other than that, there really wasn't a whole lot on the new gun proposals that he's put out.
Right.
On his revamp of education, on some of these issues.
I had to go home. I was listening to it in the car, Paul Beck, and I had to go home and grab my, thank goodness I saved my textbooks for my philosophy classes in college, because I wanted to go back and figure out, he was just sort of throwing these names out there, and I was trying to make a connection, which I am wont to do, and really didn't get much of a connection to a lot of them. What does Plato have to do with this?
Well, he didn't make the connection, which is interesting. He trotted out the names. I was struck by Kierkegaard, for instance,
Kierkegaard,
whom I have read.
Holy
but, I don't remember him very well. But again, there wasn't much connection there. I think what he wanted to do was set out this kind of moral tone by focusing mm-hmm. on values, to try to connect what he's done in Ohio over the years, over the 8 years, to that set of values and moral tone. I understand why he's done it, and I think of it as kind of two contrasts in this speech last night. One is a contrast with Trump, and I think he's really, without saying Trump's name at all, trying to contrast himself with our president. And talking about how he is moral. There's a set of values here that he is following. They're values that most of us should share. So I think in that sense, the speech was forward-looking, kind of positioning himself, and we can talk about the position later on. Mm-hmm. And then the other contrast is with Kasich when he came into the office. Somebody with very sharp elbows who was very much on the attack, who was very policy-oriented, and there was very little policy in the speech last night, strangely from a guy who I think really sees himself more as a policy maker mm-hmm. than a politician. But last night it was more the politician than it was the policymaker.
We're talking about... go ahead, Karen Kassler.
I was just going to add that, you know, not only positioning himself as moral in contrast to Trump, but also cerebral and educated and some of these things that I think he wants people to see him as. And I think that's part of why he set it up that way. And again, though, there was kind of this hard-to-follow element of why are we talking about this? This is a State of the State speech, and we're half an hour in, and we're finally just mentioning the state of Ohio. It was just kind of a little bit of confusion. He had warned us, though, it was going to be odd. It was going to be different. That's true. And it really just didn't have any sort of an impact when it came to a message of here's what we've done. Here's what we need to do. Here are the specifics that need to happen. There was that missing.
Mm-hmm. I heard that he wrote it in a pizza parlor, he said.
He wrote it at Tommy's Pizza. That's what we were told. Yeah. And so, you know, but he apparently wrote this and certainly these were his words. I think that it's hard to criticize in the sense that you could really tell this was passionate information that he wanted to convey, that this came from the heart in some respects. But it also came, I think, a little bit from a calculated political perspective. He, like Dr. Beck was just saying, was really trying to contrast himself with the current occupant of the White House, who he's been critical of since the beginning, you know, mentioning things like the $31,000 dining room set at HUD and some of the national things that he brought up as examples. These were not done by accident.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We are talking about the governor's final State of the State address last night at Otterbein University in Westerville. With me, Karen Kassler from Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau, and also Paul Beck, political scientist at Ohio State. If you listen to the speech, give us a call. Tell us what you think. 614-292-8513. Really like to hear from some Republicans, people who support the governor at this stage in his career, and compare and contrast what you think about how he started out 8 years ago with how he's winding up. You know, he's still got a year left, Karen Kassler. I'm trying to think, and I did not go back and compare it to other final State of the State addresses, but usually they say, for my last year in office, here's what we're going to try to take care of.
Yeah, and I don't think we heard any of that. I mean,
yeah.
he kind of wrapped up his overall view, I think, his overall worldview, but he really didn't say, here's what remains on the table that I want to get done before I leave office. I don't know that he really can do that, though. He's a lame duck. He's fighting a legislature that has been opposed to some of the things that he has wanted to do. And so I don't know that laying out his plans that may not actually come to pass would necessarily be the way that he wants to go out. I think this speech was a lot more about positioning himself for the future. I mean, he made a reference at the end to the finish line is so far ahead of us that we can't even see it. I think that we might want to fact check that one a little bit, because certainly the idea that he's been on national television almost every weekend and he's really sought out by these programs on CNN and other networks as a commentator on the other side of what's happening in the Trump administration. Yeah, that really suggests that the finish line is probably a lot closer to him than he was suggesting in that. But he's taken some criticism for not being in Ohio. I mean, you know, on last week when he unveiled his gun proposals, he did that in front of a crew from HBO's show The Vice, Vice rather. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of came out of his office with the Vice crew and chit-chatted with us reporters, and he was kind of joking around with us, going after Randy Ludlow from the Dispatch, who apparently had been critical of Kasich not being necessarily in the office as much as maybe people were hoping he would be. And, you know, he made the point of, I've been doing this. I've been on my smartphone. I've been in touch with my staff. So, you know, I think that he's sensitive to the fact that people are saying that he's not around a whole lot.
He's being profiled by Vice.
He was on last week on Friday's show on HBO's show Vice. Yes, there was a piece on his gun proposals and how he's one of the Republican governors who's seeking to make some changes following some of the shootings, most especially the one in Parkland, Florida. The question is, though, he can propose these things. Are they actually going to go anywhere in this legislature?
Right. Paul Beck?
I wanted to accentuate the two really good – the things that Karen has said that I think are really very, very much on target. One of them is that he is a lame duck, but he's more than a lame duck in a sense. He has – lost the leadership he once had with the legislature.
Which is his party.
Yes, his own party.
Right.
And so that's a problem for him. It means that if there's something on his agenda for the coming year or this year that he wants to try to accomplish, it's not going to get accomplished if the legislature doesn't agree with it, and they may not agree with mm-hmm. it. The other thing that I think is really important to realize is that when he ran for president back in 2016, he really emphasized what he called the Ohio miracle. There was none of that last night, really. And it's because the miracle really hasn't happened. And so he can't really use that as the podium from which to launch, if he doesn't, a 2020 campaign. Ohio's had kind of a middling performance in terms of comparison with other states on the economy. Randy Ludlow in the Dispatch wrote a really interesting piece on Sunday that looked through all right. these details. And it's a very mixed picture. Now, again, he's tried, and you know, I don't fault him for trying. But he can no longer claim that mantle of economic performance under his administration. And you saw him moving away from that to emphasize a different side of things if he is going to combat Trump from now until 2020. And that's the
moral
side.
He did say, though, at the end, Ohio is back and Ohio is strong.
Ohio is back and is strong again. Yeah, I did want to add that in there. That was the real – I mean, if he were running again, that would be the kind of thing that you could expect to see in a campaign ad, I think. That was a real high point. He got applause on that line. But, yeah, the whole idea of a mixed record here in terms of Ohio trails the nation in job creation. Mm-hmm. You know, our unemployment rate is higher than the national average. You know, there are plenty of people who would say that the kind of jobs that have been created in Ohio are not the kind of jobs that have replaced the jobs that we lost during the recession. So there's a real strong critical element when it comes to his record on jobs and what has Jobs Ohio done. This was one of his key legacy projects here, was to create Jobs Ohio. What actually has Jobs Ohio done to make that happen?
Well, so, we don't know because they won't tell us, and we can't do public records requests.
Well, and the annual report that Jobs Ohio puts out is very light on information. It's very pretty to look at, but there mm-hmm. isn't a whole lot of substance there. Mm-hmm. And you know, we've asked also things like, you know, how much is the state giving for incentives for, you know, Amazon and Facebook and some mm-hmm. of these other companies that are looking to come into Ohio, and you know, it's pretty vague what the standard is. So, you know, I think to campaign on the economy and to really kind of push it in that direction might have been a potentially risky move. To cover it with something that just says Ohio is back and is strong again, well, you know, you could say that, I guess, and there isn't a whole lot of fact and meat there.
We are talking about what the governor did and didn't say in his final State of the State address last night at Otterbein University in Westerville. If you listen to the address, have a comment, have an observation about it, want to share it, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. With me in the studio, Paul Beck, political scientist at OSU, and also with us, Karen Kassler, is the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau Chief. So we'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about Governor Kasich's final State of the State address. There wasn't much news, but the governor did reveal the acquisition of new public land.
We're going to have a new state park, and you're going to be the ones to be able to expand this into the largest state park in Ohio. I hope some of you will come out when we dedicate it. It's going to be called the Jesse Owens State Park, after that great Ohioan who stood up to Hitler and came home with a gold medal.
Still with us is OSU political scientist Paul Beck, and joining us from the Idea Stream studios in Cleveland, Bureau Chief at Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau, Karen Kassler. You have a question or comment, you listen to the speech, we want to hear what your reactions are. 614-292-8513. Specifically, I think it was Democratic Senator, State Senator Vernon Sykes of Akron. He referenced Ohio's ranking in education in response to the governor's speech. He said that in the last 8 years, Ohio's education system has fallen from 5th to 22nd in the nation. I don't know what he's using as a reference point on that, but he says we've made little investment in statewide early childhood education and have gutted the funding to our secondary schools. Education has been something of a bane for the governor throughout his tenure, right, Karen?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at school funding just in the last budget, it didn't keep up with inflation. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of criticism to be put toward Kasich and his administration about the way that schools have been funded. And every year that's been one of the biggest fights is he puts out a budget and the state lawmakers go through and figure out, hey, we don't like the way that this is done. And so, yeah, absolutely. And that was one thing I really kind of thought we would hear a mm-hmm. little bit about in the speech is this overhaul that he wants to do on education,
right,
combining K through 12 second or higher ed and workforce development into one mega agency that would be under the direction of somebody a governor would appoint. And he really didn't mention, he kind of glossed over that. There was that whole section where he kind of glossed over some things, these quick hits on did this, and really didn't spend a whole lot of time.
Terry in West Jefferson. Hi, Terry, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to comment that I listened to his address, and I really enjoyed it.
What did you like about it?
I liked hearing him praise his wife and his daughters. I liked hearing him talk about his beliefs and where he puts his foundation and roots, because that also plays into how he makes his policies and his reasons and ideas. And I feel that there is a great lacking in our society about roots and spirituality. And if we look at the shooters of Sandy Hook and Parkland, we'll see that they have broken family, broken faith, maybe no faith. And I think that when people come together and rally and they strengthen their faith, it helps them to make better decisions and be better people.
So you liked his emphasis on all of the spirituality and the morals, and you weren't as concerned about details about what he'd achieved and what he hoped to achieve.
I wish every politician would talk about where their roots came from. I think that it would make them think harder and really assess what's important in life. I really don't give a hoot about our progress. We're going to progress as we progress. And I do think Ohio's fine. I mean, my investments from 2008 economic collapse have recovered and rebounded, and our family's moving forward, and we're just not looking behind.
Yeah. Karen Kassler?
I was just going to say, I think, you know, some of what Kasich talked about in his speech with regard to faith and that kind of thing, and praising his wife and daughters, these are things that he says in most every speech.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a huge departure for him on that. I think this speech almost felt like it was him explaining himself a little bit about why he wanted to do certain things. But, you know, the unanswered questions are, well, if that's true, then why didn't we do other things? I mean, he talked about health care. He never said the words Medicaid expansion, but mm-hmm. he talked about health care. And Medicaid expansion, when you think about, he got it through a legislature that didn't want it, it's a pretty big accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
It won't stay, most likely, though, considering the attitude toward it right now, or certainly it's likely going to change in some major way. But, you know, it's interesting to hear that reaction and to have listened to as many speeches from Kasich as I have, to hear somebody talk about how they were really pleased to hear it is really interesting for me to hear.
Terry, thanks a lot for that call. Mary in Baltimore, you're on the air. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Hi. So I just wanted to make a comment. You know, there are Ohio is noted for being a fairly conservative state.
Uh-huh.
And pretty strong. Many people are pretty strongly Christian, not only in the white majority, but in the people of color. And I believe that Kasich has much more appeal than people give him credit for, because there are many people in Ohio who would never want much of what the Democratic agenda is and who won't like what Trump brings to us. So I think the future's going to unfold, as it always does. But I give Governor Kasich a lot of credit for being who he is and being willing to stand. I may not always agree with him, but I really admire him. That's it.
Thank you, Mary. You know, I hear, I was talking about this the other day, that Republicans outside of the state of Ohio love John Kasich. Republicans inside the state of Ohio, not so much. What's going on, Paul Beck, with that?
Well, I think the Republicans who love him are those who are very dissatisfied with President Trump. And Governor Kasich has become maybe the most visible critic of President Trump, but has done it in terms of, and you see this in the speech yesterday, in terms of values and this kind of moral discussion. And I think that is welcome. Whether it's going to be welcome enough to be able to make him a viable candidate for the presidency, if that's what he wants to do in 2020, we'll just have to wait and see. It really depends on what happens, it seems to me, with the Trump administration.
What kind of response was there last night, Kieran Kassler, to the among Republicans? There.
Well, what I think this speech comes at a really interesting time. We're just a couple of months before a primary. Primaries tend to bring out voters that are more extreme on both sides. Mm-hmm. So I'm really wondering, you know, what the reaction was among Ohio Republicans who are likely to vote in this upcoming primary. I mean, the one reaction that I can point to is Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor, who was there during the speech. She tweeted out just one word, huh? Which, you know, I'm not sure exactly how you want to take that.
Is she getting little snippy these days? Or?
She's been critical of Kasich with regard to Medicaid expansion. She came out really strongly against his gun reform proposals. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you consider the kind of voter that she is trying to attract a voter who is who doesn't appreciate what Kasich has been doing. She's trying to get the Trump voters, the voters who are concerned about what the Republican Party is doing in terms of some of these issues. So she's really targeting a voter who might not have liked what he or she heard in that speech last night. And you know, whether Mike DeWine is also trying to target those same voters, whether he's going for voters who are more likely to be embracing of what they heard from Kasich last night, mm-hmm. that's the timing of a positive, uplifting speech that seemed to be very moderate right before a Republican primary is very interesting.
Hmm.
The contrast is sharp, actually, because the battle for the Republican nomination for governor is a battle between the remaining candidates over trying to get the Trump voters, whereas the speech yesterday was not designed to get the Trump voters. And so you have this growing gulf between people who are running for office on the Republican side in 2018 and the governor.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Matt in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Matt.
Hey, thanks. I was coming back from a meeting last night, and I heard the speech on the radio, and mm-hmm. I was kind of pleasantly surprised. I was like, everything he was saying, I could agree with, and I'm against Kasich on almost every policy, and I'm very in tune with state politics. So the fact that everything he was saying I could agree with was a sign that he was really saying nothing. He was opening a book of cliches and reading from it. So I think that, he, like Karen was saying, he was empty on policy and just kind of trying to wrap up and spin his 8 years in office as like an integrity kind of theocratic rule of someone that was called by God to run for government and solve all of our problems. And really, he's slashed funding for education and municipal budgets and forced, you know, the lower middle class to pick up the burden for slash taxes for the 1%, and he will not acknowledge any of that.
Hmm. He, Matt, thank you for that call. He was heavy on religion last night. He got into the philosophy thing and started doing the Plato and Kierkegaard stuff, but then moved real deep, hip deep into religion, Kieran Kassler. No holds barred.
Well, and that's interesting from a guy who's talked a lot about his faith, who's talked the Lord is going to tell him whether he should run. And you know, he's talked about the Lord will judge you on what you did for the people below you, people in the shadows, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. He's talked a lot about his religion. And so to hear that in that context was interesting. So is he a candidate who's going to run based on his religious and moral convictions, or is he going to criticize others for their religious and moral convictions? Because he talked a little bit about religion where the preaching is that the thumb of God is coming down to judge you. I mean, it was really an interesting kind of blending of what he said about religion versus what he then said last night. So I just felt overall like this speech was really designed for an audience beyond just the state of Ohio, an audience beyond what just us, and positioning himself as somebody who has another career, another future ahead of him. You know, he said at the end that the finish line is so far ahead that he can't see it. I'm just not sure about that.
Matt, thanks a lot for that call. He put out a press release, his people put out a press release aside about what people are saying, and it quoted the president and CEO of the Ohio Chamber of Commerce, the president and CEO of the Columbus Partnership, some folks that are interested in that new park, the Catholic Conference of Ohio. I guess one person that resonated was Terry Russell, director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness of Ohio. He credited or he applauded the governor's message to unite all of us together in a common cause to benefit all citizens. That's a quote. But the governor has been very kind to the mental health community all along, as you mentioned, the people in the shadows.
Right. And I think, the governor's office always puts out those things, what people are saying. And they're not the only ones. All the campaigns put out that kind of thing. And what I think most people were saying as they were listening to that speech is, What is this?
Yeah.
it was because, like I said, we went for a whole half an hour before he even started talking about the state of Ohio. And the things, the specifics that he mentioned weren't necessarily specifics on here's a policy, here's something we've done, here's an accomplishment that we've made.
And he has accomplishments.
Right. Now, the one thing he did say that you could really fact check is when he started talking about opioids. Yes, it's true that opioid prescription painkiller, those pills, the prescriptions are down 30% almost mm-hmm. over the last 5 years. But he said something about heroin leveling off. That is not true.
Right.
I mean, the numbers of deadly opioid overdoses, specifically not related to pills, have been going up. And the CDC just put out a report on that saying they're going up by about 30%. I mean, there's a real issue here, and he knows it. And I think, whoever takes it, when we're here next year talking about this, somebody else is going to have done this speech. That person is going to have to deal with this issue as well. And it's really, really tough for, Ohio has made some moves, but obviously there's a long way to go.
What I listened to, what I heard, felt like I was listening to last night was a series of sound bites that'll be used in advertising campaigns going forward.
You mean like Ohio is back and Ohio is strong again? Mean that?
It didn't matter whether it had anything to do with reality. It just had to do with what's going to sound good going forward, depending on all the different kinds of groups that he'll want to appeal to.
In his defense, I think a lot of politicians do that. But, that whole line, Ohio is back and Ohio is strong.
Yeah.
I think that that's kind of a campaign ad kind of a line. But what is he running for? I hope that my colleagues in the national media, when he does national talk shows on the weekend, which, I'm guessing that we might see him once
maybe
or twice
few,
again in
yeah.
the next couple of weeks, that they'll maybe challenge him a little bit more on some of his claims for how Ohio is back and Ohio is strong again. What is he basing that on? Some of the things that he's been allowed to say on national television that reporters here in Ohio might say, wait a minute, I got a question about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's been the pattern, and it is interesting. He comes out and he speaks as a Republican opposed to Trump, and I think that's why a lot of the national outlets want him, but they don't challenge him much on anything he says.
I think that's true.
Yeah, I think that's right. What has gotten him all this attention in the national press and the national media is that he is a visible opponent to Trump. And you saw some of that in the speech yesterday, though, as I said, he never named Trump. But it's on this moral and this values dimension. I think if he becomes a more – well, legitimate, but a more of a challenger to Trump as we get closer to 2020, people will begin to poke into his Ohio record. And, of course, he doesn't say much about that in the speech yesterday. And I think it's a hard case to make that he is one of these governors who's really turned his state around compared to a lot of other governors and a lot of other people who might be candidates for president.
We are going to take a quick break. We were talking about Governor Kasich's State of the State address last night at Otterbein University. It was his final State of the State address. There'll be a new governor in place by this time next year, as Karen mentioned. My guests, Karen Kassler of Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau, and also Ohio State political scientist, Paul Beck. We'll be right back. This is All Sides until this is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7. NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about Governor Kasich's final State of the State address last night before an audience of some 800 at Otterbein University in Westerville. Kasich hinted that there is still much he wants to accomplish in Ohio and beyond.
I've just done everything that I can do. I've done my best. We have to run through the tape. Make no mistake about it. We're not quit until we turn off the lights, because we have so many things to do. And you know, we're going to run through the tape. But the race isn't over for us. We can't even see the finish line. It's so far in the future.
Still with us is OSU political scientist Paul Beck. And from IdeaStream Studios in Cleveland, Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau Chief Karen Kassler. So, Karen, he starts that quote with, "I've done everything I can do," and ends it with, "We have so much more to do."
Yeah, it almost sounded like an apology at first. I was like, where are we going with this again? But then, yeah, he came back and said, you know, we still have things we want to do. But that brings me back to the point that I was making earlier. He's dealing with a legislature that has not necessarily embraced some of the things that he's come up with. I mean, they didn't like Medicaid expansion. I think there's a real concern about the gun proposals that he has out there. I'm hearing from my colleague Andy Chow, who is at the State House today covering the education merger bill, that there's a lot of opposition to that. So, you know, what does he want to accomplish? What does he think he can actually get accomplished by the time he leaves office? And, you know, that's, I think, why he left it kind of open-ended there. There is a lot of work to do when you think about things like infant mortality and obviously what's happening with the opioid crisis. And again, just the few things that I just mentioned that he wants to get done. I think to try to tick off a list of things he expects to do as a lame duck with a legislature that's been in opposition to some of his ideas would have been not exactly a great idea for him.
Jim in Logan County, you're on the air. Hi, Jim.
Yes. I've been following John Kasich for 8 years and longer than 8 years. Anyway, in my opinion, a lot of what he's done is just bought time for his administration, things that are like one-time benefits for the state, selling the prison farms, opening Ohio to drilling, borrowing from the Turnpike Commission. If you listen to his paraphrased rhetoric, he was talking about punishing wealthy by taxing wealthy people. You punish them for their success, and he also talks about poor people and that we should care for the least of these. But then in his policies, what he turned around and did with his tax cuts to benefit those at the wealthy end, he raised the taxes. If you consider sales tax increases a regressive tax, mm-hmm. which a lot of people do, mm-hmm. he raised the tax on the poor people at the benefit of the wealthy people. Mm-hmm. So I think in a lot of ways, they aren't things that set up the state with a structure that can be followed. They're just one-time events that helped his administration get through the 8 years.
And as Karen Kessler?
Yeah, I was just going to say that's interesting because when you think about the evolution of John Kasich as governor, when you go back to 2011, his first State of the State speech, the one that was at the State House, the one where it was with Senate Bill 5 right on the horizon with the collective bargaining reform and the protesters and the anger and the frustration and the way that he spoke then, you know, that was the time of get on the bus or you're going to get run over by the bus. Remember
right.
that?
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, this was a totally different tone. And it's when you follow the evolution here of how he has changed over the last 8 years. It's been very interesting.
Has he changed, though, Paul Beck? I see you're quoted in Daryl Rowland's article today in the Dispatch on A6. The headline is "Speech Shows How Kasich Has Changed in 7 Years." And I just wonder, has he really changed or has the goals of the speech
Well, his public posture certainly has changed.
The way he comes across.
Yes. He started out back in, you know, when he was campaigning in 2010 and then elected.
And then if you were on the bus, yeah, you.
As very aggressive.
Yeah.
Very aggressive with very clear policy goals in mind, one of which was on collective bargaining, but there were other things in terms of cutting taxes and trying to position Ohio, as he would have put it, better to compete in the new economy. That's gone. From yesterday, from last night. And it's been gone, or at least tempered in recent years.
Since he ran for president.
Yes. And I actually
think I should say the Republican nomination. Yeah.
You know, one of the significant events in his governorship has been the repeal of Senate Bill 5. Hmm. And my sense was time that it really changed him, at least in terms of, you know, what he thinks internally, who knows. But it changed his public posture. Because he was the face of Senate Bill 5. And
which
he
would have
was,
banned collective bargaining for public employees.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Including police and fire,
which was the real.
And he was strongly repudiated by the electorate in this 2011 referendum. And in some ways, he backed off after that. And then you see another runoff of him. It's been very much a roller coaster ride mm-hmm. for Governor Kasich. You see a run-up in the 2014 election where he wins a landslide victory as the Democratic nominee kind of collapses.
Mm-hmm.
So he's riding high coming out of there. He runs for president. He gets attention as he's running for president, but fails. And in fact, fails to carry all but one state, and this was his own state of Ohio, in a fairly tight race there. And so there's this roller coaster going on, and you see him, I think, by 2018, thinking that he really wants to take a different tack. And this is a tack that is values, morality. And again, I think he's looking nationally, and this is the contrast with President Trump.
Do you think the Senate Bill 5 had that big of effect on the governor, Karen Kessler?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think at least in terms of, like Dr. Beck was saying, in terms of a public position, whether he still believes it or not, he made it clear after that it was not on his agenda. And I think he's really backed away from that. I mean, every single session, there have been so-called right-to-work bills that have been mm-hmm. proposed, and they haven't moved. There's one that's out there now that would have like six bills as a package that would be put out before voters. So, you know, I think that that's changed a little bit. But, you know, who he is as a person, has that changed in the last eight
right.
years? You know, certainly governing has an effect on people, and changes of heart do happen, and people do evolve over time. I mean, we saw just this whole idea with the gun laws that he had proposed. You know, he made it really clear on his website that he had signed every single pro-Second Amendment bill that had crossed his desk. Well, then, after the last shooting in Florida, and he was on national television talking about there need to be changes made, they need to be made at the state and local level, his website changed. And he started to come up with these proposals that other Republican governors are coming up with as well in other states. And so, you know, I think a lot of this is positioning himself for something down the road because, you know, he's just because he won't be governor, his life isn't over here.
He's still a young man.
He has a lot more. Yeah, he has a lot more that he wants to do. And I think a lot of this was about positioning himself for where he will be next year. And, you know, I asked last night on our coverage, I asked my co-host Chris Quinn from Cleveland.com, did he set anybody up here? And, you know, the consensus is that he didn't.
What do you mean set anybody up?
In terms of who's going to be giving that speech next year. Did he set anybody up? And it's been interesting to watch the two Republican candidates, Mike DeWine and Mary Taylor, really pull away from him and not seek his endorsement. In fact, turn away his endorsement, as Mary Taylor has done. Mm. And her reaction last night with the tweet of, on his speech.
She was there, right?
Oh, yeah, she was there. He called her out at the beginning of the speech. She's his lieutenant governor.
Mm-hmm.
She was definitely there. So I think he is not in any way set up, either Mike DeWine or Mary Taylor, as who he wants to see take his place next year. But, you know, where is he going to be next year and who is going to be standing on that stage next year? I'm already looking on that.
What do you think he might do for the next, what is it, 8 months or whatever it is? Nine, ten?
I think, you know, he has some things that he wants to accomplish. He certainly wants to advocate for some of the things that we didn't hear a whole lot about in the speech, but he's got some things he wants to do. Yeah. You know, I think this education bill may have a really, really big hurdle to overcome if there is that much opposition to it. You know, I think he's going to do a lot of what he has been doing, you know, national television, where he gets to talk to people in the national audience and he gets questions that may not be as researched as maybe some of my colleagues in the State House Press Corps would ask. And so I think we're going to see a lot of that.
It's interesting what he didn't do last night. A week ago, he came out with this proposal for a package of changes in terms of gun laws.
Right.
It's a modest proposal.
Yeah,
mainly,
nothing new and
mainly bringing Ohio, I think five of the six bring Ohio up to what you might call the federal standard. But they're not really earth-shattering things. He said nothing about that last night. Now, he had also said last week when he made these proposals that he was going to kind of toss these to the legislature but wasn't really going to press necessarily.
The old Kasich would have
pressed. The old Kasich would have been very aggressive about
them. He would have used his bully pulpit.
Exactly. And he did not do that last night, which makes me think that, you know, as we discuss this, that in some ways he is changing his focus away from Ohio to the national stage. He's been headed that way already, but I think last night's speech was even more of that.
Frank in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Frank.
Hello there. I just wanted to just mention, of course, when all the candidates were running for president last time, you know, Governor Kasich seemed like he was the only one that just tried to keep his mouth shut and not endorse. And you know, I will admit I voted for Donald Trump because I am conservative, you know, pro-life and all the things. And I look at Governor Kasich, he's trying to do things. He's trying to not leave people left behind. And he did say when he lost that SB number 5, it's like the people have spoken. And I think the people are going to speak again. The last time we had two candidates, Hillary and Donald, and we're going to see what's going to happen next time. And you know, it would be great if the Democrats would, you know, start becoming pro-life and do some conservative things. And, you know, and sometimes when you cut taxes, businesses can stay here. I think we need to get some Republicans on your panel to, you know, it's not all bad. So,
well, let me, Frank, ask you. You said you voted for Donald Trump.
I more voted against the other candidate.
Against Hillary Clinton.
I don't like Donald Trump, but I voted for him, yes. Definitely.
But, okay, well, all right, that point taken. But how do you feel about how John Kasich has criticized Trump over the past, you know, 13 months?
Because Donald Trump is not someone that I think we should trust fully. But on the conservative part, you know, start with the Supreme Court.
Uh-huh.
That was a pretty major thing he did. And there is gun rights, and I don't think, you know, we shouldn't have a gun show at the Franklin County Fairgrounds without background checks. Is that happening in our county?
Mm-hmm.
I support guns, but we need to stop that immediately.
Okay.
So, anyways, thank you. We're going to see what's happening tomorrow. I don't think John Kasich knows what's going to happen tomorrow, but, you know.
All right. Well, Frank, thanks a lot. I appreciate your call. Karen Kassler, Frank's a Republican voter that went with Trump because he went against Hillary Clinton, and he likes John Kasich.
And I think, you know, I know that there are Republicans in the state who are angry at John Kasich for exactly what he just said, that he did not come out and endorse Donald Trump, that he broke away from the promise that he had made in the very first debate up here in Cleveland. They all were asked on stage, would you support the eventual nominee?
Yeah.
And Donald Trump was the only one who didn't raise his hand, but yet John Kasich was the one who didn't endorse Donald Trump in the end, didn't come to the convention. I think there are a lot of Republicans who are still smarting over that.
But those are more Republican Party operative type people.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I think there are a lot of voters who are like that. And, the question will be whether those voters will come out and vote in the primary. They're likely to. Mm-hmm. And which candidate of the two, Mary Taylor and Mike DeWine, are they going to support?
Hmm. But support in Ohio for Donald Trump has faded over the past several months. Paul Beck.
Well, I think the real challenge to kind of respond to that question, the real challenge for Kasich going forward, if he's on a national stage, is whether the Trump base in the party, and the party has really become a Trump party, is going to forgive him for the positions he's taken against Trump. I don't think so. I mean, I think that if there is an effective challenge to Trump for the nomination in 2020, it probably will come from somebody else, not so much from Kasich. It's because a lot of voters, as well as Republican operatives, won't forgive him for the positions that he's taken. And the other interesting question is, if Kasich had been elected president rather than Trump, what would be different? And, of course, the major thing is tone. The tone would be very, very different. In terms of policies, maybe not a lot of differences, except perhaps on trade, you know, the
I was
most
gonna
recent
just
issue.
Trade rears its ugly head. Big issue. Karen Kassler, what about John Kasich as an independent?
Well, I mean, we've heard a lot about that, you know, when he partnered with Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper, who's a Democrat, and then he brought in independent Alaska governor to talk a little bit about health care. I mean, certainly the whole idea of an independent candidate. He has said himself that he doesn't think an independent candidate could be viable unless they had a lot of money. And that's a fair statement.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he's that candidate, I think, you know, maybe he'll be interested in testing the waters. Would he actually go up against Donald Trump and try to primary a sitting president? That would be pretty extraordinary. But will Donald Trump be president when it's time to do that in 2020? I mean, who knows? There are a lot of unknowns here. And I think the speech that he made last night kind of ties into Kasich wanting to be a player and a figure in answering that question, but we don't know the answer. So he wants to be considered, though. I think he wants to be out there. He wants to be part of the conversation.
I didn't get around to checking Twitter today, but did Donald Trump say anything about John Kasich?
I don't think so. I mean,
okay.
I think he only says something about John Kasich when John Kasich says
something about
him.
Yes. Right. That's it, because he's right.
I don't know that this speech got a whole lot of national attention.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really checked it out, but this speech was unusual enough that it could have gotten some national attention. But because he didn't make any major news, I don't know that it did get any national attention.
The news was that there was no news and that it was odd. That's
well,
his own
word. And the president has other things on his mind right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
Other
but
targets.
That hasn't stopped him from tweeting about heaven knows what from one day to
you
the
know,
next.
I would add, in terms of an independent run, that's a very, very tough route to take.
Right.
Particularly given the nature of our political system, where we reward people for winning even if they don't win a majority of votes in the states and for the Electoral College. And so I think that it's probably not a viable run, even for somebody like Kasich, who may be positioning himself more as an independent and you know, less as a Republican stalwart.
Paul Beck, thanks for joining us today, as always.
Good to be here.
That's OSU political scientist Paul Beck. And Karen Kassler, thanks to you so much. I know how busy you are. I appreciate your time.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
That's Karen Kassler, Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau Chief. That's it today. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.